Good evening, everyone. Shavua Tov. We'll speak for about an hour, Bezrat Hashem. If you have questions, you feel free to ask in the middle of the lecture as much as you want. We are now a week before Purim, a little more. And I will speak about a few different things, a little bit connected to Purim. For those who know history, they know that in the Torah, there are two different kinds of holidays. There's the three regalim, what we call in English three festivals, Shavuot, Sukkot, and Pesach. And then we have Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, which is the holiday of Yom Hadin, Judgment. Two different styles of holiday. One is mamash celebration, going to Bet HaMikdash, eating well, enjoying, beautiful. And one, it's half holiday, half fear, shaking. Yom Hadin, Judgment Day. Gilu birada, it says in the Navi. At one hand, you gilu. Gilu means gil, simcha. Reada means to shake. It's very difficult. It's two opposite things in one day. Gam Rosh Hashanah, which is 2 days, and Am Yom Kippur. And then there is a third category, which call Chagim de Rabbanan, rabbinical laws, rabbinical Chagim. Which rabbinical Chagim? We have Chaz v'Shalom, you know, all the Ta'aniyot, the Tzomot, Lo Aleinu. We have to fast 5 times a year, Tisha B'Av, 17 B'Tammuz, Ta'anit Esther, all these, Tzara B'Tevet, all these Ta'aniyot. Is that we have to fast for tragedies that happen in a history. But then we have happy holidays from the Rabbanan, which is Purim and Chanukah. Chanukah and Purim. Chanukah and Purim, it's mitzvot the Rabbanan. It's not in the Torah. Purim is about 1,000 years after the Torah almost, in Persia. And Chanukah, more or less, a little bit after, so maybe 1,100 years after the Torah. So it's way after the Torah, 1,000 years at least. The Chachamim say that if one day the holidays will be canceled, which means Mashiach come and we get to a different stage in the world, this holiday will never finish. This holiday of the Chachamim, there's nobody has the power to cancel them. The question is, what's the difference between those two holidays of the Chachamim? The Chachamim made Chanukah as a memory of a miracle, and the Chachamim make Purim as a memory of a miracle. In Tehilim, David HaMelech gives us remez, clue. What does it say? Apach nishbar, v'anachnu nimlatnu. Pach means a trap. In Lashon HaKodesh, Pach in the modern Hebrew means Pach Zevel, garbage can. But Pach in the ancient Hebrew, in Lashon HaKodesh, a pach Nishbar, the trap. When you set a trap to catch a mouse, that's called a Pach. A Pach Nishbar, the trap was broken and we got away. What Pach is talking about? Pach, Rashi Tevot, Purim, Chanukah. What's the secret? Once in history, there was a Holocaust ready to come for the Jewish nation. One time by the Greeks, and one time by Haman and the Persian. But it's different kind of Holocaust. One Holocaust was to destroy all the bodies, to kill all the Jews. Doesn't matter, religious, not religious, male, female, children, everyone, you kill everyone. In 127 countries that the Chashverosh is in charge, the Haman already sent letters that in next year, on the 13th of Adar, everyone will go. In the day when the Ta'anit Esther, everyone will be killed. But the Greeks, they didn't want to kill the bodies. The Greeks, they only came to the Jews and said, "We want you to live. We don't want to kill you. We just want you to stop with your annoying religion. We don't want this religion here. We don't want Shabbat. We don't want Brit Milah. We don't want Pesach. We don't want Tefillin. We hate this Rosh Chodesh that you do. We don't like this. We want you to be normal. Look at us. We're beautiful. We go to the gym. We work out on our body. We have stadium in Sparta. Sport comes from Sparta. We have football games. We have boxing. What do you know? Like, you're like the, oh, boring people. You come with your books all the time. Enough with this. We want you to live. We want you to join the army. We want you to, you know, do business. We want you to pay taxes. We want you to be in a parliament. If you say, אין לנו חלק באלוהי ישראל, God forbid, we have no share in the God of Israel, you write it on a horn of the axe, you write, I don't have a share anymore in this religion, not only we don't kill you, we promote you, we give you social security, we give you whatever you want, we don't touch you, you be one of us. Which Holocaust you think it's worse? Coming to the Jewish people and say, we want you to leave. We want to give you money. We want to give you a job. We want you in the parliament. Everything. Just enough with Shabbat. No more Brit Mila. No more this learning of Torah. They made laws. Not allowed to learn Torah. You're not allowed to do all kinds of things. The Romans also. The Romans, same thing. Also against the Torah. But we're not talking now about the Romans. We're talking now Purim and Hanukkah. Something very interesting. In Hanukkah and Purim, the kids play with toys. In Hanukkah, they play with dreidel. In Purim, they play with grager, rashanim. It's very similar. Both of them turns around. Why this toy, from all the toys in the world, why they made up Sevivon and Rashan? Why? What's the secret here? Because both of them, you turn around. But how you turn it around? One from the top, one from the bottom. That's the difference. In Hanukkah, since they wanted to destroy the Torah, destroy the religion, destroy Shabbat, destroy Tefillin, destroy all these mitzvot. So the miracles that Hashem made to us, that five Maccabim with few hundred people went to fight against the biggest army in the world, what was the chance? There's no chance to begin with. They knew they're all going to die. They said, we're going to die for sure. But it's no problem. We want to die showing Hashem that we died for a reason, not for nonsense. We die for the Torah. We're willing to die for the Torah. Just like a week ago in Israel, 600,000, 800,000 religious people, everyone knows they're not going to take anyone to the army. The Chilonim knows it, and the Haredim knows it, and everyone knows it's politics. No one is a fool, include the chief rabbis. But why everyone came to scream and to close Yerushalayim and leave work and scream Shema Israel? What's the whole point here? It's been going on already for years that too many people in Israel fighting against the Torah. So now they came and say, you know what? If we have to die for the Torah, we'll die for the Torah. Without the Torah, we have no life. Yeah, the army needs another 200,000-300,000 soldiers. The army cannot handle the soldiers they have right now. They're thinking how to cut the budget. Isn't it? You know, every soldier costs thousands of dollars a year to feed. You need money for him. You need uniform. You need bed. You need doctor. You need insurance to pay. There's a lot of expenses, especially now when there's no war. If there's a war, maybe you need, so you take reserve. But right now, you don't need another 100,000 Haredim in the army, especially when the Haredim are worthless in the army. They don't know how to fight. Imagine all the Hasidim, all the Litaim, they all come with the Gemarot, with their glasses, all their life they learn Torah. You tell them, I want you to be commando. You put him to be commando, after 1 hour, the commander is going to kill himself. Give me a gun. What do you do here? You're destroying the army. These people are not meant for this. The way they raise them, they're not involved with the world. They're very delicate, they're very the people that they do not know. They don't know sports. They never played ball with most of them. It's not for the army. It's not like the Israeli Sabra. They grew up in this mentality. They meant for it from day one. It's a different world. They know it. Everyone knows it. So what's the point? The point is we want unity. We want to show Hashem no matter what happened, we die for the Torah. Same thing in Hanukkah. So the people, they say, whatever happened to us doesn't matter. At least we know we fought for the Torah. So the miracle came from where? The miracle came from the people, from Shamayim, because there was no chance whatsoever to win against the Greeks. So Hashem made such a miracle that the Greeks lost to the Jewish nation. How can it be? So that's why we turned the dreidel from the top. Why? The miracles came from Hashem. In Purim, Haman wanted to make a holocaust, to kill everyone, nothing to do with the Torah. Not that the Torah did not bother Haman. The Torah bothered him very much. And that's the reason he wants to make the holocaust. Why? How do we know that all the Jews in the time of Haman, they were all religious? Everyone. There's no chilonim in the time of Haman and Achashverosh. How do we know? Who can tell me? It says in the Megillah that Haman came to Achashverosh. Achashverosh is a king, not like Obama, Namer Shel Niyar. He's a tiger, but for nothing. What can they do? Putin wants to do something, Obama is scared. There's nothing they can do. Russian is the real empire in the world. America makes a lot of noise. Everyone knows. The Russians control. The Russians, whatever they want, they do. Nobody can make a beep. They wanted to do sanctions against Russia. It's the biggest joke. Russia control all the energy in the world. They have so much power to destroy the whole world in 10 minutes. They're much stronger than the United States, and the soldiers in Russia are real soldiers. It's a different world. You cannot do anything to them. If Russia wants to occupy Europe, they'll occupy Europe. Nobody can do anything. Yeah, it will make a revolution in the world, but really there's nothing you can do against them. They want to occupy Georgia, they'll occupy them. They want Poland, they'll take Poland. There's nothing they can do against them besides talking. There's no way to do sanctions against them. There's nothing they can do. So what's going on over here? Something amazing here. Haman comes to Achashverosh. Achashverosh is in a power of 127 countries. It's not a joke. So now he comes to him and he's trying to convince him how he will sign to kill all the Jews. They're all over the Jews. So he comes to Achashverosh. This is what he said. There is a nation that they're very weird. They're strange. They dress different. Their religion is different. Their language is different. Everything about them is different than us. Why do we need them? You give me permission to get rid of them, and I'm going to give you 10 loaf pieces, chunks of gold, silver, whatever, billions of dollars. Haman was the richest guy in the world. The richest guy. So he said to the king, I'm going to give you so much gold. Like the king is very wealthy as it is. But I'm going to give you so much gold that you're going to be, anyway, you're not a lover of the Jews. So I'm doing you a favor. So Achashverosh gave him the ring. The ring is the stamp. That's it. He signed, he made letter, and he sent it to 127 countries. But now, how do we know all the Jews were religious? If Haman lived today, so Haman come to Obama and say to Obama, listen, do me a favor. I want to get rid of all the Jews. There's a lot of, you know, there's a strange nation. They all dress different. They speak different language. What do they have? Nothing to do with America. It's like a pin in the neck. Give me the authority. I'll get rid of them. So Obama would tell him, what are you talking about? All the Jews I know, they're exactly like me. They eat together with me shrimps. We order from the Chinese. I eat shrimps. He eats shrimps. I drive on Shabbat to a meeting. All my lawyers and assistants, they all come. So what? They don't dress different. They all have top suits, just like me. They all have private jets. They all make more than $1 million a year, just like us, from Harvard, from all these universities. They speak English. They're very educated in America. They're all Americans. I don't understand what you're talking about. Why to kill them? They're not different than us. Haman could not make a point today. Why? Most of the Jews look more like Goyim than Jews. Most of them, at least, especially in the business world. But in the time of Haman, all the Jews were Haredim. It was very easy to convince Achashverosh, let's get rid of them. So what happened? The miracle came from the people. Why? It was already signed, everything is done. All the yeshivot, everyone went to Shushan. And they fast for 3 days. They put sack and ashes. They all cried. They read Tehillim. And what happened? V'nafochu. Everything turned around. The tree that he prepared for Mordechai, they hung him and his children and the rest of the story. This is the difference between the two miracles. Purim, miracles for the body, he wants to kill all Jews. Hanukkah, miracles for the souls, they want to make all the Jews goyim. Twice we got saved, once Purim, once Hanukkah. That's the secret of those two holidays. I always wonder, I'm asking to myself, Purim, it's a holiday that the secular Jews in Israel love very much. Customs, humentation, parties everywhere. Very nice, easy holiday to keep. Everything is allowed. You drink, you're happy, custom, the kids are happy, beautiful. So when the fact that the Chilonim love Purim, I'm not surprised. But I never understood why they love Hanukkah. And don't tell me because of the donuts, because donuts you have all year round. Why they love Hanukkah so much? Because they light candle? You come to a secular Jew and tell me, do you love to light candle? So what's to love? A light candle? What pleasure I have. But it's a holiday that everyone celebrates in Israel. Everyone light candle, parties, Hanukkah. What's going on? I never understood. Why I'm surprised that they celebrate Hanukkah? Let's be honest. If you disagree with me, you tell me. What reason, tell me please, the Chilonim in Israel have to celebrate Hanukkah? If any, Hanukkah should have been a day of mourning for them. Hanukkah should be a day of evel. Why? Whatever the Greeks wanted to do to the religion, they want to do today to the religion. So Hanukkah say, the Haredim nitzchu et ha-mityavnim. The Haredim, those who stuck to the Torah, Yudah, Maccabi, and his brothers that gave their life for the Torah, they won against the Greeks and all the Mityavnim. There were many thousands of Jews who joined the Yevanim already. They became Mityavnim. So they come with the Greeks to fight against the Maccabim. It was a little group of Haredim. And the Haredim won. And thanks to that, Chazal made Hanukkah as a symbol that the Torah won against the one who against the Torah. So now if today in Israel, every average Israeli you ask, tell me, you want all the Haredim to sit and learn Torah? Ma pitom? They should go to work. 9 out of 10 will tell you, ma pitom? They should go to work. So he's not exactly a pro-Torah. You know, bilshon amata. And then you say, do you want them not to go to the army? 9 out of 10 would say, they have to go to the army, of course. Then you tell them, do you want them to dress the way they dress? 9 out of 10 would tell you, no. Why, they can't dress nice pink shirt and put some gel in the hair and be normal? Why do they need these stupid things on and the tzitziot? Let them be modern. So no matter what the Haredim do, almost nothing that they do, they would like. So what exactly they celebrate Hanukkah for? Maybe you have the answer. I never found the answer. If we stick to the truth, technically people today should have said Hanukkah, we should get it out of the calendar. Why? It's not what we like. We like the opposite of Hanukkah. We like modernizatia, we like this, we like sports, we like culture, we like Habima, we like all kinds of not modest movie. Well, that's what we like. We don't like Bnei Brak and Mea Shaarim and Haredim with beard and peot who learns Torah. We don't like it. So far, everything I say makes sense to you or not?
No, it doesn't make sense at all.
Okay, let's hear you. אני שואל, מה?
אין חרדים, אין אנשים בני עקיבא שהם דתיים שנלחמים בחירוף נפש?
לא, אני מסיים.
היו דתיים הלכים, דקה אחד, אני לא עצמא.
לא, דיברתי על חרדים, לא על דתיים. דתיים, I understand. I was speaking only about חרדים. I only speak about the חרדים that don't go to the army.
מה שערים זה חרדים, זה היה מברך.
אבל אתה לוקח את החרדים, ואתה מקצין אותם, אתה שם אותם בתור אנשים שונים. אתה לא אומר
הם כמוני. לא, מה שאני אמרתי זה אמת או לא?
לא.
אם שואלים 9 מתוך 10. אני הגזמתי במשהו?
במציאות של היום.
נו.
האנשים שאתה מדבר עליהם החרדים, אני אומר לך בתור בן אדם חילוני, תלמד תורה, תתלבש, תעשה מה שאתה רוצה. אל תיקח לי כסף מהכיס שלי כדי לעשות את הדברים שאתה רוצה לעשות. כמו שאני לא לוקח כסף מהכיס שלך לעשות את מה שאני רוצה.
אני נמצאתי בצבא משש, אתה גם צריך לשמוע את השטויות האלה.
בקיצור, what I'm saying like this.
זה לא יפה מה שאתה מדבר.
בקיצור, טוב,
אנשים נופלים על קידוש השם. דם נשפך במדינת ישראל. ואתה מדבר לי על החרדים האלה? זה חרדים!
אתה לא הבנת? הוא בכלל לא מבין מה אני מדבר בכלל. אני לא...
אני I'm second round of hearing the Haradim talking about מדינת ישראל, like it's a piece of you know what.
לא, מה, אני בכלל דיבר על מנסס.
לא,
לא, לא.
שלא יבואו.
חפשים אקשן.
הוא שמע מתוך האלף מילים מילה אחת.
מילה אחת. ככה זה תמיד. אנשים שומעים מה שרוצים לשמוע. חס ושלום, אין פה כוונה לפגוע באף אחד. אנחנו מכירים שני העולמות וחיירים בשני העולמות. אני רק אומר מציאות היום. אם היום שואלים 9 מתוך 10 את השאלות ששאלתי אותם, אני רואה, I'm saying for 20 years, 20 years I deal with people from both sides. When I come to, חס ושלום, nothing against secular people, I'm just saying reality. You ask them, what do you want? You want this way or this way? The 9 out of 10 would say, I'd rather without this. I'd rather without this. Like he said, I'd rather this. He's against them, they learn Torah. You see what he called them? He called them Erev Rav. This is exactly what I was talking about. And not only that, to get so upset that they want to learn Torah and don't want to get to the army. Now you say something else. Let's talk about what you say. And again, so everything is with friendship and respect. I didn't come to put anyone down. Please don't jump to conclusion. We're just trying to talk about Purim and Hanukkah. What are the symbol of those holidays? Because sometimes people celebrate, they don't know what they celebrate. Same thing Rosh Hashanah. Most of the people in Israel do not know what Rosh Hashanah means. They think it's tapuach bedvash. How many people in Dizengoff, you ask on the street, tell me, do you know what Rosh Hashanah means? He would say, it's a new Jewish year. What else can you tell me about Rosh Hashanah? We eat tapuach bedvash, that will have a sweet year. What else can you say? Nothing. So do you know that Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin for the whole Jewish nation, for the whole world? It's a critical day. Nobody ever told me it's Yom HaDin. What does it mean, Yom HaDin? You know, Hashem judging you based on your last year. He's going to decide how much you're going to have this year. He judge all the good you did, all the bad. Most people never heard it because they don't teach it in school. They never know about this thing. So going back to what you say, it's like this. In the land of Israel, the Israelis chose to make Israel based on the rules of democracy. Democratia. Democracy is not a law from the Torah. It's a secular law. Democracy. What does it mean, democracy? It means many things. One of the major things it means that the majority rules. There is 100% of the population, Haredim, Datim Leumim, Arabs, Chilonim, Russian immigrants, Ethiopian, different kinds of groups. You gather all of them to 100%. And they have to vote who's going to sit in the Knesset. 120 people. You take the cake. You divide it to 120 seats. Each seat is one. It's almost a percent from the entire government. Almost a percent. And then in the end, the majority will make the rules. They sit in the government. They decide. They win. They control. They control the money. They control the rules. And they make votes. And whatever they decide, that's what's going to be. Now, who will be in a government, the nation decides. The nation. You see, every citizen on the street has a big power because he can decide in a way who's going to be the chief of the country for the next 4 years. What is the problem with this law? Is this law comply with the law of the Torah or this rule, this system is against the law of God? What do you think?
There's nothing to do with it.
Well, you know, everything in life is either with the Torah or against the Torah. There's no in between. For instance, giving tzedakah, if it doesn't come from the Torah, it's still good. It's comply with the Torah.
Tzedakah comes from Muslims. Tzedakah comes from other religions as well. It's not only the Torah.
Muslims, it's 2,000 years after the Torah. Everything they say came from the Torah. So, no, but I'm saying to you now, democracy is the rules of the Torah or it's against the Torah?
It's not against the Torah, but it's not the rules of the Torah.
So you say it's not this and not that?
No.
But it's not...
I'm saying the rules of the Torah is that you're going to listen to your Rebbe. Whatever he said, it goes. Means that they're not going to let you individually decide what you're going to do. When you do democracy, then you have a right of saying your word, saying what you think, and give your opinion. And then you send whoever you want to represent you in the parliament. For example, you see, most of Hasidic, they don't have a lot of majority in the Knesset, and they still manage to get whatever they want for their own people, which is completely fine. The only problem that we have right now is because of the Knesset and the parliament rules, they'd be able to like extort the government, if you want us to sit with you in the Knesset, we want this and that, which is completely fine. But it comes into a head that me as a majority, I'm not getting what the minority get, so I don't feel democracy anymore.
Oh, so I everything you say, it's true, but it's not exactly answering my question. I'll tell you why. I mainly focus on one question. The rule that the majority of the nation will decide who the king is, it's something that Hashem wants, or it's against what Hashem wants?
It's a belief. It's not something that you can answer. This the Hashem wants, and this one the Hashem doesn't.
Based on what we learn in the Torah from the entire 1,000 years of history that the Torah...
Like learning the Torah, I don't know Torah.
Like, oh, so you don't know. Okay, who wants to answer this question? Yeah.
So you do have certain inyonim where democracy does come up in Judaism, where it's okay, but they get that in. For example, that the majority of the Jews that wanted a king, they asked for a king, and Shmuel was modded to it. You also have the Gemara in Ahuba Zarah that says that certain gizerot that the Rabbanan would enact, they'd send it out, they try to get everybody, they wouldn't say the reasons. And then, if they saw that the majority of the Jews would take it on, then you would have...
An experiment.
You would have not.
Good.
So you do have a certain...
No, but you're giving individual experiments, which is correct, but I'm not asking about here and there that they wanted to know how the people feel. I'm talking as a system that the nation, the majority will decide who will be the next Moshe Rabbeinu. It's something that Hashem wants, or Hashem wants to be the one who decide who the king gonna be, which means Hashem doesn't speak to us. He comes to us every hour and tell us what he wants. So he has a prophet or a chief of the Torah, which means the biggest chacham in the land. And he's the boss. Or you have like Moetzet Gdolei HaTorah. You take all the big rabbis in the world, you gather them together into one committee, and they run the country. Based on what Hashem wants. Hashem wants the nation to decide who the government's going to be, or he wants the Torah to decide who's going to be the leader. What do you think? Let me be a little bit more clear about what I'm speaking about.
It's a personal opinion.
No. Well, it can be proven. Every personal opinion can be proven or disproved. What I'm saying is like this. Look, if you go in a country, forget about Israel, in any country, what would we do if 80% of the country will be foolish people, full of crimes, criminal record, very heavy drug abuse, horrible alcoholism problems, but they are 80% of the country.
Yeah, and another example, you have Egypt right now, and see what happened when they gave them the right of voting.
Beautiful. So this is a perfect example. Egypt is even a better example than what I said. But let's stick to what I'm speaking about. You have 80% of the nation not educated, did not finish 12 years of school, violence, police cases, all kinds of problems. And according to the rule of democracy, there are 20% of good people, intelligent, they learn, doctors, I mean professors, whatever, they know a lot. They're very educated, they have no criminal record, most of them don't touch drugs, they're more decent citizens, they are 20%. And the 80%, which almost all of them criminals, according to the law of the country, they actually have the power to decide who's gonna sit in the government. So now, who they would want to sit in a government? Somebody like them, like happened in Venezuela, they took a criminal from the streets and made him the king, and all of a sudden, they became like one big mafia. The majority of Venezuela completely took over the country, and Chavez is now already like running it like a mafia. He decided to take gas stations from company. They invested billions of dollars. He decided they're against the law. He take away all the gas. You're not legal in Venezuela. No rights, no nothing. Like a neighborhood. This is what, in Israel, for instance. In Israel, most of the people don't have high academics. Forget about Torah now. I'm talking about the secular people. So the majority of Israel, it's people not exactly brilliant and genius. Not everyone is Albert Einstein.
You make a mistake.
Tell me what's the mistake.
But more percentage of people are educated.
In Israel?
By far. You got a 20 or 30%.
University?
Absolutely, of course.
I didn't know that statistic. I don't know, maybe you teach me. Huh? 30%. 30%, you say? I didn't hear you.
Over 50% educated.
They go to university in Israel?
Of course.
Finish high school, 90%.
Anybody knows this statistic? More than 50% in Israel go to university?
Bill Gates actually just mentioned it last week. Whatever he wants, any ideas to go to Israel, doesn't mean that.
Yeah, but that's not the majority.
Well, majority is actually, yeah.
I don't know, maybe you're right. I never saw it anywhere else. The statistic I saw, it's much lower than that, but it's okay. Bottom line, you understand the point. According to the Torah gives certain rules who deserve to be in control of the land. One of the rules that Hashem say has to be a person that is a tzaddik, talmid chacham, he knows all the Shulchan Aruch, all the rules. He controls all the Talmud. He knows all scenario in life, like a big judge. So what is it equivalent to the secular law? If you take a big judge that was in a court for 30, 40 years, and he knows all the laws, and he's in court for many years for that, then somebody like this, if you decide to make him a prime minister, at least you know this person has experience and chokhmah and education and 30, 40 years of seeing what this country is about. At least there is not necessarily that it's going to be a great leader, but at least there is a chance that someone like that would run the country in a better way. Especially if you have 30 like him in the government. Each one of them is big, educated. If they make him a judge, that means they count on him to be honest and righteous. Not every judge is righteous and honest, but at least there is a chance for it. And plus, you know, he has a record. If you check, I have a cousin that is a judge. Every few years or every year, the lawyers have to fill up a survey. All the judges in a court, they give them a mark. I think from 1 to 5 or from 1 to 10. How many stars this judge, they get from you know, like 5 different levels. Very good, good, average, below average, and very bad. They rate the judges. And obviously, if every year a judge always gets 0, 0, 0 from everyone, that means he's not a good judge. And everyone rates him very high, even the lawyers that sometimes are the opposite of him, but they still give him a very high mark, then we know that this person is decent, is honest, he always knows, he comes ready. Somebody like this can run the country. But today we have a situation in Israel. If we look who runs the country, if we break it, we see who sits in the government. There are a few brilliant people, few people with record, few people from the army, which they're very good. And then there are people, one was a reporter in a newspaper. Just because he makes his comments on a newspaper, all of a sudden he became the chief. Few Arabs declare they hate the state of Israel and they're praying for the destruction of the prayer of Israel. About 15 of them sits in the Knesset. Nobody hides that. And then we have another group of Jews, about 10, 15, I don't know exactly how many, that their opinion is exactly like these Arabs. They tell you, we are Jews, yes, but we want the country to be like them. We want them to control. We don't want the right or whatever. So we have a situation in the government now that a large portion of the government are completely dangerous for their country. Completely dangerous. Now you come and say, oh, according to your opinion, they're dangerous. But according to my opinion, they're not dangerous. So now who decides who's dangerous and who's not? That's when the Torah has to come into place. Why? Because when people come to the argument, everyone has his opinion. And many, many thousands of subjects, people make their opinions. How we will ever know who is right? How? Are we going to decide who is right by a vote of the majority? That's just because the majority is right doesn't mean that that's the right opinion. If one person say this is the right way and 3 say no, we want to do the opposite. How do we know the 3 are right? Maybe the 1 is right and the 3 are wrong. Maybe he's a brilliant financial advisor. He knows economy very much. And they know almost as much, but not as much. So he see what they don't see. So he say this is what we have to do to lower the interest rate. And they say, no, we have to increase the interest rate. And we went with them and the country collapsed. All of a sudden, inflation, problems, people lose their homes. If we would listen to him, it would change everything around. So why we listen to them? Democracy. They are more and they want. The question is, who is going to know what's the right thing to do? Now let's talk a little bit about the Torah. In this world, if we review history, there are many people who had their opinions in the past, and some of them convinced their country that they're right. For instance, Hitler convinced his country that Jews are not good for the world, you have to kill them. Also black people, also other groups of people, handicapped people, people that were born with defect, they are not welcome, we don't want them. So now, many millions of people followed him. He was able to convince all of them that his way is the right way. In other countries, such as Muslim country, somebody push an agenda and everyone follow him. In many different countries, we see what's happening. The question is, who is going to say who is right? Who is going to say who is right? He claim he's right, he claim he's right, until tomorrow. There's no winner. That's why we need the Torah. Torah in Hebrew means hora'a, instructions. There is a creator to the world, and he gave Torah. The Torah, it's not only for the Jews, like some people think. The Torah also applies to the goyim. That's Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach. The Torah applies to the goyim what mitzvot they have to keep. Also, the goyim, the Torah teach that they have to keep all the other mitzvot that are required by common sense. To keep Shabbat is not required by common sense. But you should not kill, it's required by common sense. Even if it wasn't a part of the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach, the goyim would know. For instance, Kabel et avicha ve et imecha. It's not in the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach. It's not in the seven laws that God said to the goyim. So now, Vini will beat up his father, Tony, every day. So they ask him, Vini, what are you doing? You hit your father? So he said, I'm a very religious man. According to your Torah, forget Christianity. I don't believe in Christianity. According to the Torah, it says seven laws to keep. You should not kill, you should not steal, no idol worshiping, believe in one God and love him, and then obey the police and the court in your area. Do not eat ever minachai, don't kill and don't eat an animal before you kill it first. Yeah, and sex crimes with the seven relatives. That's it. I keep all of them, I assure you. Just respect your father and mother, it applies to you, you Jew. Doesn't apply to me. Wrong. It's not in the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach, but the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach, it's more than 40 mitzvot, if you really look at that. Why? Everything that is required by common sense, a person will be judged by Hashem, Jew and non-Jew. That's why I give you an example. The first prime minister in Israel, David Ben-Gurion, he wasn't a religious person. They came from a time of communism. They came to Israel, they make kibbutzim, moshavim, and he was the first prime minister. He is the one, by the way, who gave the pass to the religious people not to go to the army. Those who learn
400 only.
Well, because in that time there was only 400. Well, it was 60, 70 years ago. There was no yeshivot like today. In the time when Chazon Ish came to Israel, there were only a few hundred learners of Torah. You're right. It wasn't meant to be 80,000.
600,000 Jews. Now it's 6 million or 8 million, so 10%. Take 4,000, I'll give it to you. But now it's not 4,000, now it's like 70,000.
Yeah, but the law was never changed officially.
Like, you know, every month, and I'm citizen of Israel, cannot get this same equally, you know?
Yeah.
If no, I'm getting something, at least I'm going to give back.
Yeah, I understand. But, you know, it's like I said, it depends who is entitled to say who is right.
I'll tell you why you don't understand. Because if you said 800,000 going and saying, we're going to die for the Torah, we're not going to go to the army, maybe you didn't get the message. The message is not stop, go to learn Torah, or go to yeshiva, or do whatever you want, enjoy life, dress the way you want, eat what you want, learn what you want, study as much as you want, but just do it on your own, don't do it on my expense.
So now comes the question, what does it mean on your expense?
My expense means...
Now I'll tell you what it means. The law of democracy, which this is the law in Israel now, whether we like it or not, he says that everyone is entitled to get rights equally, Jews, Arabs, Haredim, everyone. Now, the government has budgets to give for art, for sports, for theaters, for roads, for all kinds of things. So now, because the majority of Israel, about 70%, are not religious people, so they control 70% of the cake. The other 30%...
It's
more than 70% that are not religious.
No, if you add Haredim and Datim Leumim, about 25-30%. So now, the people Shomrei Shabbat, let's say, about 30%, and 70% not Shomrei Shabbat. So now, 70% of the budget should go to them. 30% should go to the ones who Shomer Shabbat. They also have rights. They pay taxes. There are many diamond dealers.
That's the thing. They don't pay taxes because they go to work.
Lebayev doesn't pay millions of dollar taxes in Israel.
If you don't go to work, you don't pay taxes.
No, Lebayev works or no? He makes a lot of diamond deals. But there's hundreds of diamond dealers in the Bursa Haredim that make millions of dollars each and they pay taxes.
60,000 Haredim that learn Torah and they're getting monthly.
But there are 2 million Haredim in Israel with Datim Leumim that do work and pay.
No.
Why no?
No, because
from 7 million in Israel, how many of them are Shomrei Shabbat?
From 8 million people in Israel, you have 2 million that are not Jews.
Okay. 6 million. How many of them Shomrei Mitzvot?
I don't have the statistics. I can get it for you.
The last that I checked.
You can see that the numbers are completely off.
Okay, but there's not more than 100,000 Talmidei Yeshivot. More than 100,000 in Israel?
Yeah.
No, what are you talking about? You're way off. There's no such thing. The biggest yeshiva in Israel is 5,000 mir. And then all the other yeshivot are very small yeshivot. In America, in Lakewood and in Mir over here, together there's 8,000. The biggest yeshivot in Israel is a few hundred each. If you add all of them together, you don't get to more than 100,000. Now you have to know one thing. There are many religious people who work, bus drivers, doctors, lawyers, teachers, diamond dealers, real estate developers, who build all Ramat Beit Shemesh. This is all Haredim investor. They pay taxes in the government. Every time the Haredim buys in a store, they pay 17% to the government, whether they like it or not. So millions of dollars come from Haredi hands into the government. Now, the government cannot take all the money and give it to Chilonim. They have to be fair. They have to give 70% to what the Chilonim wants and 30% to what the Haredim wants. Now, what's the Haredim wants? They want to learn Torah and support the yeshivot.
They want to learn Torah and get paid for it. Okay. To go to the army and get paid for it.
Oh, so now comes the army. Let me explain about the army. Now it depends if the Torah is from Hashem or not. Before we continue our argument, I want to ask you, do you believe that the Torah is the word of God or no?
Don't ask me this question, but I'm not going to answer.
Why? It's very important for the arguments, because if you tell me no, then I'll tell you, I brought you right here Torah and science, watch it, and then for sure you will know that Torah is word by word from the creator of the world. After I prove to you 100% that Torah is divine, and I did it to tens of thousands of people.
I don't doubt that it's not divine.
Okay, so now it's depend what the Torah says. Now, if I see the Torah say left, and the government say right,
to work. That's what it said.
No, wait, one second. No, so I'm saying like this. If the Torah is real, then... Okay, so now let me give you an example. Yoshua ben Nun is occupied the Eretz Israel with the army. The Torah say that 3 days before they were sitting and learning Torah, it divides the army to half, and the other half goes to war, to the war. Half learn Torah in the middle of the war, and half go to fight. Then the Torah said that Hashem sent an angel, and Yoshua ben Nun saw an angel with a sword. An angel was very angry. He said, why did Hashem send you? So he told him, Hashem sent me because you're not learning enough Torah in a time of such tragedy. Which means, what Hashem cared more? Hashem cared that people would learn more Torah than will be the ones who go into their combat. But the Torah says clearly, Im lo briti, brit ha-Torah that I made with you in Har Sinai, Im lo briti yomam v'alayla, chukot shamayim v'aretz lo samti. Hashem say greater than that. Hashem say, if you're not going to learn Torah, this entire world will be destroyed. Why? What keeps the world going? The learning in my Torah, which is the most important thing for me. Now, someone who is not religious, he has a very difficult time to understand why it's so important to learn Torah, because he thinks...
Talking about the Elohim, not about regular
no,
people to learn Torah.
No, every Jew, reading Rambam, every Jew, you, me, him, everyone, smart, foolish, rich, poor, everyone, every male has an obligation to learn Torah every day until the last breath of his life. אפילו אני, או אפילו אני המחזר על הפתחים, even a person who runs and begs for donation, even someone like that, he has an obligation every day to learn Torah. Now, I didn't tell you that you have to sit 12 hours a day and learn all day. That's a privilege. But to learn Torah morning and night, everyone must learn Torah. Limud Torah keneged kulam. Now, let me explain to you something. In army, you have Navy, you have Air Force, you have spies, and you have drivers. Driver, what's a driver? Like a taxi driver. He drives the commander from here to Tel Aviv, to Haifa.
It's not the argument.
Okay, now. Same thing, there is drivers and there's cooks and there's doctors and there's soldiers who risk their life in Lebanon. Same thing you need in the army, people that learn Torah. Yeah? You need a large group of Jews to sit and learn Torah. Why?
That's your belief.
No, that's what the Torah said. That's why I ask you if you know the Torah is from Hashem or not.
I'm telling you, but not everybody believes what you believe. That's the only
argument. No, not belief. Forget about the word belief. That's it. It's not my belief. It's what the Torah said. Now. That's why I ask you. See, I was clever. I asked you before. If you come and tell me, I don't believe the Torah is the word of Hashem, then I wouldn't talk to you now about what I say to you. I first would now prove to you that the Torah is from Hashem. I will show you large portions of the Torah that the human being could not write. Only the one who created the world had the knowledge. No human being knew about the number of the stars, the renewal of the moon, about all the fish in the ocean, about what's going to happen 1,000 or 2,000 years later in the world. Nobody knew what I show in this film. That's why it's such a popular film. They translated it to 7-8 languages. Why? Because it leaves no doubt. Doesn't matter, you Jew, Arab, Christian, doesn't matter. Once you watch this film, Torah and Science, or Torah Umada in Hebrew, it's the end of the argument. Not one person can argue with this film. After you watch it, you know 1,000,000% the Torah of the Jewish nation, word by word, come from the creator of the world. Now, I tell you why it's the argument. Because according to you and me, even me, not that I'm Moshe Rabbeinu, even me, I may think maybe it's more critical to take guys and send them to fight in Lebanon. You think, I think, he thinks, everyone thinks. Doesn't matter what we think. It only matters what the Torah said. That's what people hard for them to understand. Now, I'm not judging the Chilonim that have so much difficult time to understand why the Haredim make such a big deal out of the Torah. Because in their mind, they don't understand what Torah is. They think history, math. So you want to learn. We also want to learn. We want to be students.
If you want to learn the Torah at Masyon, they don't doubt you. They just tell you, do it on your own. Don't do it on my expense.
So, okay, but this is what I'm explaining to you. That Hashem says that someone that learns Torah, listen, Patur is dismissed from taxes. He is dismissed for guarding the city from robbers and from enemies. Dismissed. Everyone who sits and learns Torah. I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example. The Gemara brings a story. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, he wrote the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, one time, he says, the king, the Roman king, said to the Jews, you have to buy me, you have to make me a special jewel. How much the jewel cost? In those days, $1,000,000. So the Jews have to get now $1,000,000 to buy him this jewel. So now, there's half of the people in the city learn Torah, half of the people, business people. They work in the market. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi say, only the people who works will pay for the jewel. The people who sits and learn Torah don't have to pay a dollar. He was the king, he was the president. So the people that work got very angry. They say, what? Just because we go to work, we're going to pay for the goy, for the jewel, and these guys that sits and learn Torah don't pay a penny? So they told the president, they told him, if this is what you decide, we're going to get up and leave town. We take everything. In the old days, what, you had a horse and a carriage. You get on a horse and you leave town. No big deal. So Rabbi Yehuda Anasi told them, you're free to go. Take your stuff and leave. So half of the working people of the city got on the horses and left town. So now the other half came to Rabbi Yehuda Anasi and said, what are we going to do now? Half of the people left. Who's going to pay now for the jewel? So Rabbi Yehuda Anasi told them, you, all of you, the ones who stayed here, you're going to pay for the jewel. So they said, now we're going to have to pay double than yesterday, because half of the people left. If yesterday I had to pay $3,000 each one of us, now we're going to have to pay six. So Rabbi Yehuda Anasi told them, too bad. That's the law. That's the law of the Torah. So they say, okay, we're also going to get up and leave town. So he told them, you can get up and leave town. They all make a mered. They got on their horses and they left town. So who stayed in town? Only people who learned Torah. All the business people left town. Few days later, a Roman soldier came on a horse and he said, I have good news for you. The king canceled the decree. You don't have to get him the jewel. So Rabbi Yehuda Anasi gave a speech and he said, this is the proof that the only reason that this tax came on us is from the people who does not learn Torah. The people that learn Torah, they do what Hashem wants them to do. The other people who don't care about Torah, they only care about business, they bring on us tragedies, and in the end they come to us and say, leave the yeshiva and come to the army or come to the business. This is what's hard for the secular people to understand. Now again, I'm not planning to convince you in 1 hour conversation. I know it's a 30 years argument, but at least hear what's the opinion of the Torah and the chief rabbis of Israel. At least let me explain to you, not from the newspaper, because it's all full of baloney. Let me explain to you where the Haredim comes from. The Haredim comes from, they think, just like the Israeli army is very important and they give their life to protect Israel from the Arabs, we contribute to Israel just as much and more. How do we know it? Because this is what Hashem says in the Torah. Not we didn't make the rules. We didn't write the Torah. The Torah say, Hashem ilachem lachem ve'atem tachrishun. The Torah said in hundreds of places, when the nation of Israel osim retzono shel makom, they all listen to Hashem, they keep Shabbat, they don't steal, they don't speak Lashon Hara, they keep modesty, they do what the Torah say, and the Haredim are far away from being perfect. Don't jump at me, I know they have a lot to correct. But I'm saying overall, b'shita, they keep Shabbat, yes. They eat kosher, yes. So they have a lot of things that the other side don't do. They don't keep kosher, they don't keep Shabbat. So certain things the Haredim still very good with. They still have a lot to correct. But they come and say, I learned 15, 16 hours Gemara, which is very, very difficult. See, Chilonim think Gemara is learning historia in a university or learning medicine. They don't understand it's 100 times harder. I brought lawyers, big business people to the yeshiva in Monsi. After 15 minutes, they're fall asleep. I wake him up. What's happened? So it's very difficult. I cannot keep up. And this is a person with degrees, very smart person. I argue with the controller of New York State, professor for history, 3 hours, obviously, all the money of New York State in his hand. All the signature, union, FBI, all the workers, the mayor, the police, everything in his hand, in a signature. Controller of New York State, 3 hours, one-on-one. Very smart person. But what did he say in the end? No argument. The Torah is the word of God. It changes entire thinking in 3 hours. He said, I wish I knew you 30 years ago. Now I'm already 68 years old. I wish I knew you 30 years ago. I would live my whole life different. I never believed that there's a way to prove the Torah is from God. I always thought it's a matter of emunah, faith. Going back to what I say. It's all come down to what the Torah say, not what you think and not what I think. We are nothing, not me and not you and not anyone else. It's only what the Torah say. If in the Torah we read that God say, who sends war to you? Me. Why I send you the enemies to fight you? Because you don't listen to me. Where does it say it in the Torah? Who knows? Parashat Bechukotai. Bring it now, I'll read it to you. Im Bechukotai telechu, ken, ve'et mitzvotai tishmeru, ve'natati bracha ba'aretz. וחרב לא תעבור בארצכם, וישבתם לבטח ואין מחריד, והרדפתם את אויביכם, ונפנו לפניכם לחרב, ואויביכם לא ישלטו בכם, וכל המחלה אשר שמתי במצרים לא אשים עליך. זאת אומרת, in the Torah, in one page, the speaker is God, not the rabbi and not the chief rabbi. He's Hashem speaking in the Torah. He say, if you're going to listen to me and follow my Torah and mitzvot, I'm not going to send you those enemies to fight you. Where will I send them when you don't listen to me? When 70% of you do not want to keep my laws, Shabbat, Kashrut, Nida, and all the rest of the laws, then I'm sending the Arabs to take away Israel. And you have to fight with them, with guns and airplanes, right? If you would listen to me, you wouldn't need such a massive army day after day, night after night, millions of dollars every day on missiles, on Patriot, on army is a very expensive deal. But because we don't want to listen to Hashem, we don't, all of us, with no exception. So Hashem say, like they say in Israeli army, Ma she'lo ba'derech harosh, ba'derech haraglayim. What doesn't come in 5 minutes through the head, come through the legs. You have to run all night. So Hashem say, it's not, it's reality. You're listening to me, the enemies cannot touch you. You don't listen to me, all the problems come one after the other. And it says right there, ve'im bechukotai lo telechu, ve'et mitzvotai lo tishmeru, right away, a list of curses, ve'natati cherev ba'artzichem, ve'shlachti bachem timaon. Timahon means confusion. You don't know what to do. You already go to sleep with one tragedy. Before you wake up, you already have a new one. You did not finish with one. Right away, I send you another problem. I send sicknesses. I send this. I send this. Read in the Torah. I didn't write the Torah. So if the Torah is the word of God, which can take 1 hour maximum to prove, what do you want from the Haredim? The Haredim only stick to the text.
Go to work. That's what I want. Go to work.
Okay, so...
Don't study.
Yeah.
But go to work as well.
Yeah.
Don't take my money if you
want to
study.
Have a good suggestion.
Otpam, he says money. The money of the Haredim go to Haredim. The money of the Chilonim goes to Chilonim. Haredim pay taxes.
Don't worry about it. I'll go with you. Not a soldier would sit for 5 minutes. A chiloni to study Torah? 5 minutes?
What's your name? Yoram, listen to me. Look, we're not coming here to who is right, who is wrong. It's not about who is right and who is wrong. It's about one simple rule. If the Torah is not from Hashem, right away you want the argument. Please understand. If the Torah is from Hashem, the Haredim that sits and learn Torah, not the regular Haredim, the Haredim that sits and learn Torah contributes to the nation of Israel a lot more than the soldiers. The soldiers are very important, and they risk their life, and they give a lot of efforts every day of their life, but don't think that they do more than the ones who learn Torah. This is what I'm explaining to you.
I'm arguing with belief. You cannot argue with belief.
Okay, so, but again, the belief comes from a source. Your source comes from the street, from the, what you read in a newspaper. My source comes from the Torah.
Don't underestimate my source.
No, where you know what you know from? What are your sources? Either the government, or the newspapers, or what the people on the street talking about. Your sources don't come from the Torah. I also have sources from the street, but I don't care what the sources in the street say. I only care what the Torah say. I give you an example. There are certain things the Haredim do against the Torah. If you know my lecture, I speak very strong against them. For instance, there are yeshivot who doesn't accept certain kind of people. Where does it say in the Torah that you're not allowed to accept a Jew, that you're allowed not to accept a Jew because you don't like his nationality? It's against Hashem. It's also racism against your own brothers and sisters. So when the Haredim do something wrong, I'm the first one to speak. Why? Because I have a source. I speak with what the Torah say, not what the street saying. You understand? Same thing about converts. The Torah say to love the Gerim 36 times. Some Jews don't like Gerim. They don't like converts for whatever reasons. they claim this, they claim that. But the Torah, when Hashem gave the Torah, he knew there's going to be problem with the converts. He knew it. And he knew it's going to be problem with everyone in the world, not only with the Gerim. And Hashem say, after all the problem that he saw, and he knew the future, to love the Gerim. So now someone who makes excuses why he should not love them, violating the Torah. So I come to him just like I come to you, no difference. The truth is above who are you and who am I. It's what's the truth. The truth is, the Torah say to love them, this person does not love them, is violating the rules of Hashem. It doesn't matter what he say. Even if we bring proofs from the street, he did this to me and he did that, doesn't matter. Hashem knew that the converts would make problems, some of them. And he knew some of them was fake. And he knew all that. And he still wrote in the Torah, you must love them and help them and not take advantage on them and all these things. Wow. Same thing. So I'm giving you an example. Nobody is perfect. Everyone violates some rules of the Torah, some more, some less. But the point of the army and the taxes, the Torah say, people who sit Toratam Umanutam, they have dismissal from all kinds of obligation that regular people do not have. Now, I agree with you on one thing, that all the Haredim who doesn't learn Torah, or even learn Torah only on the book, not in reality, which means they're in yeshiva, but they're not really learning, I'm the first one that support that they'll go to the army. But with one condition. What's the condition? That they make the army suitable for them. Why? Because I was in the army. I know what's happening there. I know that there's boys and girls in the same area all the time. Not now. Okay, maybe now it changed after so many years. Okay, so now, if they have a place, they have like Nachal Haredi, I don't know exactly what's happening there, but assuming they made it exactly like the Torah require, then what reason they have not to go to the army? You're right, 100%. They're not Toratam Umanutam.
Go even further. Don't go to the army. Just go to work. That's it.
The work is not the issue right now. The issue in these days is the army, if they go to the army or not. They don't go to work, they don't have what to eat. It's not your... The government doesn't give them so much. I have yeshiva in Yerushalayim. You know how much the government gives? How much you think the government gives? $100 and something. That's all the argument is about. $100 and something, depend on the shekel. $160, $170 a month. That's it. My big deal is there. No, so much. I'm telling you from experience. I have yeshiva, 24 avrechim. Between 160 and 170 for a family. Maze. It's not even 500 shekel. Maze. What's this whole noise? I don't understand why the Haredim even wants this money. The Haredim should say, don't give us anything, we don't want. That's it. If so much headache for $460, hey, you bloodsucker, you're taking, you're destroying the economy. What do you want for it? Give it up. Better to give it up than to hear so much headache. It's like a kid who comes to his father, give me $5, give me $5, give me $5. In the end, he gives him $5 and gives him 3 hour curses and speeches. You bloodsucker, you a horrible kid, how much I do for you? So the kid, if he's smart, he says, take your $5, leave me alone. What do I need his help for? I don't understand them. The problem is that they're so poor, like someone here say, that this 500 shekel is the difference between the kid will have a piece of bread or not. That's it. That's really the problem. We look at that $160, let's make a difference. Believe me, for them, it's a big difference, unfortunately. But like I said, this money doesn't come necessarily from Chilonim. There are plenty of Haredim who pay millions of dollars taxes. The biggest diamond dealers in Israel are Haredim, in case you didn't know. And they make huge business, and they must pay 40 to 50% tax in Israel.
They also sponsor those
yeshivas. Yes. Most of the money comes from private sponsorship, from America, from other places. It's a very small portion. Anyway, let's move on. Let's move on now. So the point is like this. That person that left before, he had no idea what I'm talking about. I didn't speak about anything. I just explained. I ask a simple question. When you celebrate a holiday, you have at least, if the holiday is a spiritual holiday, it symbolizes an event, you have to check if the event is what you want or it's against what you want. That's all I say. For instance, the Christian in Israel celebrate Christmas. So they put a tree and they put lots of lights in Israel. Now, if I want to celebrate this holiday and I want to put a tree and put lights in my terrace, Before I do it, do I check what's the holiday or not? Do I check it or not? I have to check what it is. So the Christian comes and tell me, we used to have a Jewish leader, his name is JC, and you know, he had a group of people on the streets, he gathered them, he had a cult, and he started to teach them Torah, and then later the Jews turned him into the Romans crucified him, you know the whole story, and thanks to that we celebrate his birthday. It takes 5 minutes to know that he has nothing to do with December 25th, it's all a lie. If you know Christianity, 300 years Christianity were in effect without Christmas and New Year's Eve. Only later they saw it's too boring, so they decided to make holidays. All of a sudden, check when Christmas started. It didn't start with Christianity. Not only that, Christianity never started by JC. Died as a Jew. How many years after JC died, Christianity started? Huh? Between, there's different opinions, between 70 to 300 years later. So let's go on the most lenient one, 70. Even 70 years, it's already three generations. So imagine I come to you now and say, ladies and gentlemen, I have a father who had a father who had a father. So the father of my grandfather in Iraq, 80 years ago, walked on water. So now how can I prove if he did or not? It's up to me and you. You want to believe, you believe. This is religion. When you compare this to the Torah, the Torah is millions of Jews standing in Mount Sinai, hearing the voice of God. That's what it's written in the Torah. How do I know it really happened? Maybe the Jews made it up. The Jews made it up. Prove to me that we really heard the voice of God. How do I know? The answer is very simple. If I came here today, and I bring a book with me, and I say, God gave me this book to give it to you. I'm the leader. You have to follow the book. So right away, Yoram will ask me, okay, listen, I respect you, but can you prove your point? Everyone can come and say, God gave him a book. So what would I say? If I say to him, no, Yoram, you're not allowed to ask questions. It's a matter of faith. You have to believe. Then it's up to him. He wants to believe, fine. He doesn't want to believe, fine. This is what Christians answer. You're not allowed to ask this kind of question, son. We have to believe. What does the Torah say? We don't have to believe anything. We have to know. V'idatem ki ani Hashem. You should know I'm your God. You should know I'm the God who took you out of Egypt. Not believe. You should know 100%. So now I come and I say from tomorrow morning, all of you must be fully religious. And now I'm talking to a group of people, I'm giving them a book. It happened at one point in history. One day somebody came with the Torah to a group of people and he said, God gave me this book. Okay, you have to keep the book. So now they open up the Torah. Bereshit bara Elokim toshamayim v'taharetz. Beautiful stories. How do I know? Someone made it up. That's not a proof. I begin to read and then I come to a place that speaks about me. Up to now, what happened in the creation of the world? I wasn't there. Maybe it happened, maybe not. All kinds of stories, I wasn't there. Now the Torah begins to talk about me and all of us. Listen, this the Torah, it's something beautiful about it that most people do not know. What's the difference between the Torah and 80,000 religions who came after? What's the difference? All other religion, one person comes, he gives a book to a group of people, and the book and the people have no connection. The people get a book, and they are not mentioned in a book. Nothing. The book, whatever the laws of God supposedly, here is the book. JC, his mother Mary, and his father Joseph, and he did that, and the Romans did that, and JC said that. What does it have to do with the people who gets the New Testament? Nothing. Muhammad bring the Quran. What's the connection between the Quran to all the Arab people who live in the desert? Nothing. They're not mentioned in the Quran. The Torah. Oh, so the Torah is right. He did not know how to read and write. Now, come Moshe, he gives the Torah. The people open the Torah. I am the God that took you out of Egypt. You were a slave in Egypt, and you worked very hard over there, and I took you out with miracles. Dam, tzfardea, kinim, I did blood, I did frogs, I did this, and I did this, and I did that. If one of the details in the Torah was not 100% correct, so you would tell me, hey, mister, you claim God gave you this book, right? God is not a liar, and he definitely doesn't make mistake of little kindergarten, no? So if God gave you the book, how come every page in the book have mistake? You just told us that we were in Egypt. We were not in Egypt. You just told us we used to be slaves. We were not slaves. You just told us that all over Egypt it became blood. We didn't see blood. You just told us there were millions of frogs everywhere. I didn't see one frog. You just told us that we saw every male born in Egypt fall and die. We didn't see that. Anyone saw Egyptians dying? No. You just told us that we went inside the Red Sea and God opened the water for us. We went through and the Egyptians drowned. Where did you bring this movie from? It's speaking about us. We know what happened to us. What are you telling us what happened to us? You're lying. We know better than you what happened to us. Not only that, they read now, and all of you heard me speaking to God. There's pasuk in the Torah. The ones who are receiving the Torah for the first time, the Torah say, all of you heard me and God speaking. All each one of you heard the voice of God. Now, if one Jew in Israel did not hear the voice of God, one, you don't need all millions. One, it's enough. He would raise his hand and say, excuse me, Mr. Moshe, thank you very much for your time, but why are you lying? Why are you lying? You just told us that all of us heard the voice of God. I'm here already standing 3 hours. I didn't hear any God. I didn't hear God. Did you hear God? Did you hear God? Anyone here hear God? It's enough. 10, 20 people would raise their hand. So I'm here also, and I didn't hear God. Right away will be the first mistake in the Torah. And God cannot make such mistakes. Well, God comes to you and say, all of you heard him, and you did not hear him. Do you think a person can come to 3 million people and convince them that they're all dumb? How can it be? A person come to millions of people, all of you were in Egypt. Oh, really? Okay. If you say so, okay, we were in Egypt. All of you were slaves for 210 years. Oh, really? Okay, we didn't know. I took you now and I took you out of Egypt. Oh, really? Oh, really? Oh, really? Until tomorrow. Everyone is a fool. Especially when nobody wants to be religious. Everyone wants to be free. Moshe comes, he gives them a list of things to do. You have to give 10% of your income. Nobody likes it. You have to keep Shabbat. Nobody likes it. You have to be honest. Not everyone likes it. You have to be modest. Not everyone likes it. But the best thing is, Moshe comes and says to them, Erva dodatcha lo tegale dodatchai. You cannot touch your aunt. She's against the law for you. But the problem was that tens of thousands of them were married to their aunts, to the doda. It was obvious, it was perfectly fine. Your father has a sister. She's younger than you. Your father is 40. You are 21. And your father has a sister. She's 20. So you're 21. She's 20. She's your aunt. What's the problem? Nowhere in the history it says that you're not allowed to marry your father's sister, just like cousin Mary until today. So thousands of them, tens of thousands, married to their daughter. All of a sudden, Mr. Moshe shows up, and they open up the Torah after all the problems they had coming out of Egypt. Finally, they got rid of the Egyptian. 7 weeks later, they open up the Torah. Erva dodatcha lo tegale dodatchai. You cannot touch the finger of your aunt. What do you mean? She's my wife. We have 10 children. I'm not God. All of you must get divorced. That's what the Gemara say, that kol mitzvah shekiblu alem besimcha, yesh babracha. And mitzvah shekiblu bebchiyot, ze bchiyah ledorot. Every mitzvah that they accepted with joy, it has blessing in this mitzvah forever. And the mitzvot that they started to cry has problems forever. What are they, the Gemara say? Arayot. Relationships. Because they started to scream and cry that they all have to get divorced, many of them. But what kind of Torah is this? Until now I was married and I have my wife and children. And I mean, this guy came now. But the best part is, not that many people know, that Moshe Rabbeinu, who was his mother? Yocheved. Who was his father? Amram. What was Yocheved for Amram? His daughter. Moshe will go against his own family? Of course it's from God. But not only that, if Moshe was Chas v'Shalom Ramai, he would write in the Torah that he's Megamgem. Did you ever see a bad word against Muhammad in the whole Islam? Never. Why? Well, it's all a lie. So they made it look perfect. Did you ever see a bad word against JC? Never. Why? Well, it's all a lie. The Torah, Lashon Hara about Moshe, Lashon Hara about Aaron, Lashon Hara against Miriam, Lashon Hara about David HaMelech, Lashon Hara about Shlomo HaMelech. Why? The truth from Hashem comes with the good and the bad always. Not only the good and the bad goes under the rug. No. David HaMelech, big tzaddik, made one big mistake in his life. He paid for the mistake. Why? Why you write that in the Torah? Take it out, ma. Who needs to know now? Why we need to know the story of Bathsheba? What's so important? Take it out. What, you hear all the bad things Muhammad did in his life? No, they cover it. But in the Torah, there's no cover. It's a very objective book. It's very objective, the book of the Torah, with the truth exactly as it was. Not only that, why we eat in Shavuot Chalavi? Why we eat dairy? The answer is, they just found out that all the meat they prepared for the holiday was with a regular knife, not glatt kasher. So Moshe told them it's holiday soon, and all the food you prepared is not kosher. Why? Because we just got the Torah, and the Torah told us how to slaughter the animals. So what happened? There was no time. And now to go and kill new cows and take off the skin and put salt to get out the blood, it takes hours. And then to cut the meat and then to cook it, you need 2 days. There's no time. In a few hours, it's Yom Tov. So what happened? There's nothing to do. So they took milk, whatever they made with the milk. Until today, 3,300 years, we eat Chalavi and Matan Torah. Every custom in the Torah, it's not Rabbi said and they were bored, okay, let's make a new law. It doesn't work this way. Every rule in the Torah, and in Gemara, in Halacha, it all comes from a very deep and meaningful source. Any questions so far? Any question? Yoram Nirga, Baruch Hashem. Yoram Nirga. No, ladies, any questions? Huh? Minag? I didn't say it's obligation. I said, where does it come, this Minag? All of a sudden. Pesach, no Chalavi. Sukkot, no Chalavi. Rosh Hashanah, no. Pitom, Shavuot, you make sure you eat Chalavi at least once. Where does it come from? The answer, I told you where. I'll tell you something very interesting. It reminds me about David HaMelech and Shavuot. In Beit Sefer in Tel Aviv, in Tzfon Tel Aviv, there is a public school, nothing to do with religion, and there is one rabbi with a black hat, comes every Friday to that school in Tel Aviv, and he gives 10 minutes Divrei Torah. So his rabbi in Yeshiva told him, I don't understand. How they let you in? They don't let Rabbanim like this with black in Tel Aviv. Hey, Le'Be'er Sheva, Bat Yam, maybe they let you in. But in Tel Aviv, in a Salta u'Shamna shel Asmol, the Smolanim. So it says, how did you get in? I'm very curious to know how you got in. So he told him, you know, Rabbi, how I got in? I'll tell you how I got in. I came one day to the school, and I said to the woman in charge, I want to speak 10 minutes about Shavuot. It was Erev Shavuot, one day before Shavuot. So she said to him, well, why do you think we're not talking about Shavuot? We're also Jewish. So he said, yeah, of course. I'm not saying you're not teaching. But, you know, I'll give it for a little bit from the Gemara. I'll make it interesting. Don't worry. They would like it. So she said to him, and you sure you're not going to try to make them religious? So he said, no, I promise you, I'm not going to talk about Lachzor B'Tshuva, just about Shavuot. So she said, would you give it to me in writing? This is how the story was. She said, of course, I'll sign for you, no problem. Yeah, I have to protect myself from the parents. I don't want problems. Right here that you commit not to speak about anything to become Shomer Shabbat, nothing like this. So he said, 100%. Okay, so she said, but 10 minutes, no more. So 10 minutes on a second. So he went to the class. They brought 400 kids. All the classes, 400 kids. And he spoke about Shavuot, what happened in Matan Torah, why we eat Chalavi. Then he had 30 seconds left. It was 9.5 minutes. Measuring mamash. So he said to them, kids, Do you know what else happened in Shavuot? No. So he asked them, he gives them a hint. Do you know who wrote the book of Tehillim? Not one kid answered. True story, it happened. So he said, let me give you a remez. Let me give you a hint. David, everyone scream, Ben Gurion. That's what happened. So the teacher, the principal, she didn't know where to hide from the bushot. They don't know who wrote Tehillim. Kids in Medinat Israel, Tel Aviv, not one from 400 know who wrote Tehillim. Can you believe such thing? So he came out, and she said, thank you very much, it was beautiful. So he told her, you have to agree with me that I have to come here at least 10 minutes a week, no? So because of her embarrassment, he said, if you keep it like this without shtifat moach, just stick to the topic, I don't mind. You come every Friday, 10 minutes. So he answered to his rabbi. He said, that's how I got in. How I got in, in a moment of embarrassment that she had, that nobody knew who wrote Tehillim. She didn't know David HaMelech is your side, is this, Shavuot. They don't learn these things. And this is how he got in. Any questions before we finish? Okay, so now to conclude. To conclude, don't get the wrong impression. I didn't come here to speak about what the Chilonim do right or wrong. That's not here. Everyone knows what they do right, what they do wrong. Charedim, Chilonim, all of us needs improvement. That's not the point. The point was that to explain to the world why the Charedim are willing to go all the way full force for the honor of the Torah. Why is it? Because in their mind, we only follow what the Torah say. And the Torah say that to learn Torah is just as important as to be a soldier in the army. Just as important. Some would even tell you it's more important. But even if it's enough, it's equal the same. You going to the war, you driving a truck, you are a cook, you are an officer. I am a learner of Gemara and Torah. We all help the Jewish nation. Don't think you help them more than me or not. Now, about the work, same problem. If I'm going to go to work and learn at the same time, nothing will come out of my learning. Why? We all know what's happening on the streets today. Imagine you have to go work in Manhattan, half of the people naked. What's happening over there? It's very difficult, the atmosphere, to keep the holiness of what you have in yeshiva. You sit in yeshiva until 1:00. You come to Manhattan, I know a few people like this. They learn a few hours in the morning, they go to Manhattan and say, you don't understand. We feel amazing. Soon as we come to the city, Hashem Yerachem, everything goes to 0. So this is very difficult. In the time of the Rambam, everyone was dressed, women were dressed, the Arabs, the Goyim, everyone was modest. It was a different world. It wasn't like today, screens everywhere, televisions everywhere. It was a different world. People had more dignity. It was very easy at the same time when you sit and fix shoes, at the same time you learn Torah and read Tehillim. But today it's not the case. If it was possible, Baruch Hashem, everyone would love to work a few hours and make a living. The problem is it's not possible. You want to work in Tel Aviv and then go back to Bnei Brak to the yeshiva, it takes away all the kol hakdusha and what you go in the yeshiva. You come to a secular area, and what happened there, especially in the summer, it takes away everything. It's not possible. That's why those who have the talent to... Not every Haredi can sit and learn Torah. Obviously, most of them don't sit in yeshivot. They all go to work, especially here in America. Those who can sit 10, 12, 13, 16 hours a day and learn Torah, obviously we, the people who don't sit to learn Torah, have to let them do it because it's for our good, not only for their good. It's for the entire nation of Israel. It prevents machalot, it prevents wars, it prevents casualties, it prevents problems from us. How do I know it? It's not my opinion. If it was my opinion, you're right. Why should you believe me? Of course, I have a point, an agenda. But I'm not saying it from my own opinion. I'm reading it in the Torah. Now you can come and tell me, okay, the Torah say it. I don't like it. I don't like what God say. I don't like it. There's nothing I can say. You don't like, you don't like. Well, I'm not going to convince you to love what God says. Or you can come and tell me, I don't believe that it's from God. You wrote it. Your rabbi wrote it. Somebody 1,000 years ago wrote it. It's a lie. It doesn't make sense that God said that someone who learned Torah helps the nation of Israel more than someone who sit in Lebanon at 2 o'clock at night looking for Mechabel. It cannot be. Now, I'm going to prove to you that the Torah is 1,000,000% from Hashem. If I'm able to prove that the Torah is divine, you have to surrender. Cannot continue the argument. If I didn't prove to you the Torah is from Hashem, you won. I have to surrender. Why? Because all my argument is only based on what the Torah say. Nothing to do from my opinion. Nothing. The Haredim didn't sit and say, we don't like the army. We don't want to be soldiers, so let's make a lie. Let's say that he learned Torah, it's very important, and that's how we're going to get away from the army. Now, Chas v'Shalom, that wasn't the case. The Haredim, no matter where they are, even here in America, you know how many people we have in yeshiva? Without army. They give up work, they give up careers, they give up college. They want to sit and learn Torah. With or without army. Nothing to do with the army. Why? Because they know this is what Hashem likes the most. I want to be in a top VIP league. You want, you welcome. You don't want, go to work. I want to learn. In America, there's no issue. Everyone does what he wants. In Israel, because of the situation, it becomes an issue. The only way to make the Chilonim relax is to make all of them understand that the Torah is divine. Once they all understand the Torah is from Hashem, at least half of them will change their mind right away. Why? Because they know, until now I thought the Haredim making it up. Now I read it in the Torah. It's a different story. I don't want to go and fight against Hashem. To fight against the Haredim, I don't mind. It's politic. To fight against the creator of the world who gives me oxygen, I will think 10 times before I do it. And believe it or not, there are people who don't mind to even fight against Hashem. But I'm sure you're not one of them. Bezrat Hashem. Thank you very much. Have happy holidays coming up. We'll see you again. Thank you very much. Kol tov.